This is the cyborg assassin Rick Recon, and you are listening to Shooting Up North Indie Edition with Lewis Carlin.
Hello and welcome to Shooting Up North Indie Edition. I am your host, Lewis Carlin, and today we have a very, very special guest. He has a huge match coming up September 5th against the cowardly Blaze Haram, and we're going to talk about that, among other things. Very happy to welcome to the show the cyborg assassin, Rick Recon. Rick, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you very much for having me.
My pleasure, my pleasure. So I was going to start with some introductory questions, but you know what? Let's get right into it because I saw the video yesterday. You're at the gym working out, you're cutting a little promo, and you were blindsided by Blaze Haram. So why don't we talk about that? First off, how are you feeling after that attack? Because he hit you with that barbell when you were on the weight bench, and that looked like a pretty bad shot. So how are you feeling after that attack?
I'm pretty stiff. I'm pretty sore. Like, I can take a beating. You know, I can take and give ass whoopings, but I'm feeling it today. Like my whole neck is he definitely hit me right, honestly. You know, he had a clear shot considering he got me from behind. So my neck is super stiff right now. Like all sorts of taped up on my neck right now.
No. Yeah, I mean, you're working out, you're saying a few words, and he's such a, it's just a cowardly attack, in my opinion, by Blaze Haram. What do you have to say? What do you have to say? I know Blaze Haram took an interest in this interview. He was responding to the Facebook post. So what do you have to say to Blaze Haram after that attack?
Like, you know what, if he wants to come find me, he knows where I am, clearly. He knows where I'm going to be. So, like, well, I don't see why he doesn't just get up in my face about it. Like, this isn't the first time I ran into this jackass, either. Like, I've ran into him before. Like, we've crossed paths at the Bronx Wrestling Federation, like, a year ago. And, you know, he got up in my face, and I threw him into a chain-link fence. Like, see, that's why. See, at least he learned something. He learned that if he comes face-to-face with me, I'll be his ass. So he decided, okay, well, I'll just hit him from behind when he's not looking. You know, that's just how he is. He's disrespectful. He violates everyone that he comes across. It doesn't matter who it is. Like, he doesn't give a damn whether you're, you know, whether you're an indie guy, whether you're, you know, a major TV company. He really doesn't care who it is. Like, see, that's just the attitude that he has. He's a prick, quite frankly.
Yeah, I mean, he actually knew. He knew I was going to be interviewing you today. He sent me a message that he wanted me to give to you. So I'll just read what he says. He wanted me to tell you that he plans to rip you apart on September 5th, and it's something that you got to get used to. He says you're a bitch-made bozo who's going to have to be sipping his dinner with a straw when he's finished with you. I'll let you respond to that.
Okay, sipping my dinner when he's done with me. Okay, that's funny. Well, any time that we've ever crossed paths, whether it was Triple Threat, Fatal 4-Way, tag matches, I've always beaten him. He's never beaten. He never has. Granted, this is now a true one-on-one, so you better bring everything you've got if he even wants to come out of that alive. Because, see, here's the thing. People understand the hatred that we have for each other. They're already getting it. So BCW is not the only place that wants to see this fight. There's another place that we're
actually scheduled to fight the week after Titan Championship Wrestling. It's also in New Jersey. It's not actually that far from where we're going to fight on the 5th. But honestly, that match might not even happen because I'm planning to make sure he doesn't get there, that he doesn't walk out of BCW, that he's a one and done at BCW, that he's in and out. He'll just be another in the long list of revolving doors of opponents that they feed me and I just destroy them. Like, that's what I am. Like, you know, I'm not called the cyborg assassin for nothing. Like, if nothing else, I'm the Terminator of the Independents. You feed me anybody. You give me anybody. They don't make it out. They're never the same afterwards. And Blazing Rob is not going to be any different, you know. And what's funny is, you know, he called me a bozo. Well, what happens when this bozo beats him? Does that just make him a bigger bozo? Does that just make him a bigger clown? You know what I mean? Like, that's the problem with him. He doesn't seem to understand that. I get it. He's trying to make a name for himself. So he decided to pick, you know, the workhorse of this area, the up-and-coming workhorse of this area. And you know what? I mean, that I'm a heck of a guy to try to make a name against, but it's just not going to happen. So me and him are going at it. This isn't going to be a wrestling match. This is going to be a fight. This is going to be a fight, beginning to end.
Yeah, I really hope that you put the guy in his place, man, because he was on my show a couple of times. Very, very disrespectful. And I is there any way that this match going to be streamed anywhere? I'd love to see you destroy this guy live on September 5th. And is it going to be streamed anywhere, or is it going to eventually end up on YouTube?
I believe the event, I'm not sure if it's live, but I know it's going to be put on Fight TV. Fight TV app, so I know you know, can search BCW or Recombination Wrestling, and it'll be up again. I'm not sure if it's live, but it will be put up. It will be available, and it'll definitely be worth, just for this match alone, it'll be worth getting and watching. I mean, the rest of the event is going to be fantastic. Like, I'm not selling anybody else short, but just this alone should put everyone on notice. Just this fight alone.
All right, man. I'm looking forward to it, and I'm glad it's going to be on Fight TV. I'm definitely going to check it out. So let's actually steer away from Blaze Haram. I think we spoke enough about that disrespectful idiot. So let's go back. So let's go back to the beginning for Rick Recon. At what point in your life did you decide that you want to become a professional wrestler, and why? Why'd you make that decision?
Well, I made that decision because I wanted to be able to give what the professional wrestlers, what the superstars of the past gave me, which was moments, and gave me emotional responses to their matches or the moments that they would give. That's why. It's not even necessarily the fame or the glory. It's to be able to, when somebody thinks back about Rick Recon, I want them to be able to remember where they were and remember how exactly they felt when they watched a match of mine, because that's what guys like Undertaker and Edge and Triple H and Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart and all those guys, like the guys that I gravitate towards, the guys that I watch and the guys that I love. Those are the guys that are, they gave me moments, you know, they made me feel for them. They made me even cry. Even as a cyborg, yes, I can cry. Like, I just want to be able to give that back to people. And as far as when it started, here's the funny thing is, a lot of people always talk about that they grew up a professional wrestling fan, or they watched it with their dad when they were like 4 or 5 years old. That wasn't me. I got into this really late. I was like 16 when I started watching wrestling. You know, I probably would have gotten into it sooner, but my mom hated it. She thought it was trash. She thought it was very smutty and just not good TV. Funny thing is, she's come and watched me fight people a couple times, and she liked it. So it's funny how people's opinions change. But I started gravitating towards it when I was 16, 17, and a friend of mine had put it on when I was over at his house. And it was just the most fun I had had watching a TV show, like, in years. So that was where it really started. And when it really got to me, when I really wanted to do it, was when leading up to WrestleMania 24, when there was two programs that really drew me into that, was Ric Flair's Last Stand against Shawn Michaels, where he eventually obviously lost and retired. Yeah. And Undertaker and Edge, because Undertaker and Edge have always been my two favorites since I started watching it. They were the guys that I wanted to emulate the most, and I gravitated to the most. So both of those did it for me, because, you know, Flair going under to Shawn made me cry, and Undertaker winning the title made me cheer. So I said, this is it. Like, you have this all in one show. I want to be able to do this. Of course, it was years before I went to an actual school to do it at, because I was never one of those guys that was like, I'm just going to hop in a ring and try to do stuff and not be able to do it properly and get injured or injure somebody, you know, else or anything like that. So it took a bit to get there, but I'm here now.
Yeah, I was gonna ask. So, when you first started training, was it as difficult as you thought it was gonna be, or did you take to it rather easily?
It was as brutal as I expected it to be. It was physically much more physically demanding than I had expected, because up until that point of actually doing it, you know, I went from one end of the spectrum to the other, where I had done bodybuilding competitions, had dieted and gotten in decent shape, to then going doing powerlifting. And, you know, I wouldn't say I was in bad shape, but I wasn't in great shape either. I was just strong. That was about it. And then I went to the school that I ended up training at, which is Extreme Wrestling Alliance. It's in Albany, or run out of Albany. The head trainer was Shockwave the Robot, and that's the guy who trained me. That's the guy who built the foundation for the Cyborg Assassin. So I do owe him a lot for that. But it was brutal. Like, I remember going, and it was like me and, I don't know, 10 other guys that started. And after 2 weeks, like, I was the only guy left out of that group of guys. You know, everybody else just eventually just, like, fell off, or they either got hurt, or, you know, they just couldn't physically take it. And it was basically just either not giving up out of ego or not giving up out of stupidity. or a mix of both. But I think that's what really started building the Cyborg, was right there. It was just not stopping and not giving in to wanting to go home. I said, no, I'm not going to do it. Even if you want me to go quit, I'm not going to quit.
So how did that first bump feel when you took your first bump? I know I've asked this question to a lot of wrestlers. I get all different types of answers. Some felt nauseous. Some felt like they were going to throw up. Some felt okay. But how did you feel after taking that first bump?
It wasn't as bad as some people, as it is for some people. It helped that I was in shape. You know what I mean? You're back bumping. And if you have back muscles, if you have a thick back like I did, it's not as bad as it is for some people who don't. But it is a bit of a jolt when you first take it, because you're not used to it. You're not expecting that. You're expecting more bounce, and there's not as much bounce as people expect there to be. And what was funny is the trainer kept giving me, kind of gave me shit, because I would bump, and it looked great, but my feet never left the floor. So basically, my feet would never leave. They're like, you look like Gumby. Like, you're like the move. And eventually he had to just, like, prick me so my feet would come off the floor, and that seemed to work. So,
yeah. Well, it's a good thing you're the Cyborg Assassin, not the Gumby Assassin. So tell me about the Cyborg Assassin. How did that character come about?
Well, it kind of evolved, because that wasn't exactly who I was when I first started. It wasn't too far off. It wasn't like I went from, like, I don't know. I've seen some weird gimmicks, dude, in my time. You know, there's this one guy I wrestled with who was like 500 pounds, and he basically was like the giant baby. That was like his whole gimmick. I mean, you could find him on like Trash Baggers or whatever somewhere online. But I started out more as like a super soldier, because I was really, as everybody came to me and was like, "You look like the Winter Soldier. You look like Bucky Barnes in Captain America." And I thought that, I always thought that was a really cool character anyway. And I always had liked Marvel superheroes, Batman, stuff like that. So I was like, all right, well, I tend to be a lot tougher than a lot of people anyway, and be able to take a lot more abuse, and I'm stronger than a lot of the guys that I'm up against. So wouldn't that make sense as a super soldier? You know, I would just come in and destroy people and throw them around, and it worked. And I went with that, and it slowly began to evolve as people were like, "Ah, you're like a real machine," you know. And then my love of Terminator and any movie with like Arnold, I'm an Arnold. I will profess to anyone that I'm not typically a mark for anything, but I'm absolutely a Terminator mark. Always have been, always will be. Some of my favorite films. And more of it became, as I went along, it became less that I was, it became more that I was just a machine, this human machine that just, I built myself through training in the ring for weights. I built myself to be a machine, because I wasn't genetically gifted to be, you know, strong or fast or agile or anything like that at all. I made that. I built that. So I basically am a self-made machine. So that's legit. That's how I've seen it. And that's how it morphed from being a super soldier to being the cyborg. And it became the cyborg assassin when I became part of a squad known as Tetsujin, which is that's Japanese. That's what Tetsujin is.
I was going to ask you about the Super Soldier, because I'm on your YouTube page, and I see Super Soldier Rick Recon against the Abdominal CPA. So I was going to ask you about the Super Soldier. But you've answered the question. So, yeah, there you go. So let's talk about the first match you've ever had. When did you feel that it was time that you were ready to have your first match, and how did it feel being in the ring for the first time?
Well, I can tell you the first match I had, I was not ready to be in the ring. Well, I was, but man, it was definitely, like, you could train all you want, but there's nothing like being live in front of people. Nothing like it. It's you know what I mean? It's like a real life application. And it was actually a tag team match at an outdoor show. And I actually was tagging. This is the strangest team you're probably ever going to come across. Remember the guy that I mentioned was like he was like 500 pounds and he dressed like, like Big Baby. Yeah, that was my tag partner in my first match.
Okay.
So the soldier and the giant baby tagged against the execution. It was memorable in so many ways and so many bad ways. But it definitely got got those first match jitters out, that adrenaline. I got to learn to ride the wave of adrenaline and use it as a tool rather than as a hindrance. And that's what separates amateurs from pros. Everyone who gives a shit about this and wants to be the best and wants to perform at a high level, we all get adrenaline because we all feel it. But it's, can you use it to your advantage, or are you going to let it have you crumble and mess up? And that's the difference. That's what separates the men from the boys in this business. Well, one of the things, I should say. But that was definitely one of the first ones that kind of got those jitters out and say, okay, I love this. Let's do this. Let's do this for real. So any chance I could get, I would go out on the road. Any chance I could get, I would do drive to work, whoever, wherever, traveling anywhere, working just about anybody, just to hone my craft against, and, you know, like I said, tons of different people of all shapes and sizes and backgrounds, because I really want to do it for real.
But yeah, I've been watching some of your matches on YouTube. You've had some really good matches against some top stars. Simon Gotch, Mario Baccara, Just Incredible, Bin Hameen. Oh, it's just great matches. Do you have a favorite match? What is your all-time favorite match that you've had?
That's pretty hard, I would say. But if it's funny that you bring up Simon Gotch and Mario Baccara, because there's a match I had with Mario Baccara. It wasn't the one that's up on YouTube. That one's definitely up there with one of my favorite matches. But there was one that we actually had at the Monster Factory that I never got the tape for. But it's a toss up between that and the match I had with Simon Gotch, where as far as my favorite matches I've ever had, because Baccara pushed me. He pushed me and pushed me to make sure that I was where I needed to be and to give absolutely everything. He taught me to bring the intensity. You know, Simon Gotch taught me to think in the ring and to not do everything like cookie cutter, you know, pre-box bullshit that half of guys run, where it looks like it's like a dance. Like, this is pro wrestling. This is not ballet. Like, everybody says, they always say that. They go, this is professional wrestling, it's not ballet. I don't know, man. It looks like a dance routine out there half the time. Maybe struggle, maybe fight a little bit. Maybe somebody will actually believe you that you're a real wrestler or a real athlete then. That's the guy that gave me that attitude, was Simon Gotch. And I absolutely, okay. or Grimm, as he goes by now, I absolutely thank him for that. Even though still want to,
a really good match.
Yes, I still want to kick him in the face again, because he really, really went out, really went at my arm, and I felt it for a couple weeks afterwards. So I would very much like to go at him again, because I've definitely upped my game since then. But that match, to me, was actually one of the wake up calls that, man, you don't know as much as you think you do. So let's put in some work, boy, and let's get to work and let's improve. And you know what? Tell you what, I have, and people are going to see that September 5th.
Yeah. So I asked you about favorite opponents. Do you have a dream match? Who's your all time? If you could pick one opponent to step in the ring with, say tomorrow, who's that one opponent? And it could be dead or alive. One opponent to step in the ring with.
One opponent, I'd have to say, man, because I have a list too. I have like a list I could rattle off too. But if I had to, truly had to pick one, gun to my head, Will Ospreay.
Oh, wow. Yeah, very, very top, incredible, incredible talent. Do you watch New Japan Pro Wrestling?
That's almost all I watch.
Oh my gosh, we would be buddies, man, because that's my absolute, without a doubt, my favorite promotion. Like I watch others, I watch Impact, I watch MLW, mainly indies, but New Japan Pro Wrestling, that's my promotion, man.
Yeah, to me, the bucket list, more than, I mean, I'm not gonna get that egotistical or that prideful, but on the bucket list, obviously, most people have, you know, the main event of WrestleMania. That's kind of like the one that everybody puts on their list of, oh, that would be great to have and work towards. But man, to me, more than anything is the main event of Wrestle Kingdom. To me, that means more than a main event of Mania. Just because of the level of guys that you have to have gone against to be at that level is insane. It's insane. I mean, just
absolutely, man.
Okada, like, that's all you gotta say. That's the main event. Like, if you're there, you're the man. You've made it. That's why Kenny Omega had that spot when he got that spot. Yeah. That was it. So, but yeah, I mean, of anybody, I would have to say Will Ospreay, because that was he's insane. The man's insane. However, what's funny is I've enjoyed his matches more as he's become a heavyweight than before, when he started putting some size on, because then he started putting in like the work. Like, I'm not against aerial stuff. I'm not against flips or anything like that. I can get fancy too, but I think some of his best stuff is when he had to go up against guys that made him really work, made him really wrestle. Like when he'd go up against Okada, or to me, my favorite match, I think my favorite match of all time, or at least non-WWE, was Will Ospreay versus Shingo Takagi at Best of the Super Juniors 2019.
Yep.
Match.
Fantastic match.
I just saying that, I get chills from. I watched the match 20 times. I get chills to the finish, regardless.
Yep. Absolutely.
I dissected that match, and watching it, it opened up so many different ways of thinking for me, and how to work and how to train, and it was amazing. And I said, I could build a whole feud from learning from just this one match. It was amazing.
Now you mentioned the main event of Wrestle Kingdom, and you mentioned Okada. Now, to get there, you probably would have to go through Tomohiro Ishii and Minoru Suzuki. Do you think you could do that? You think you could go through those? Do you think you could take a chop to the throat from Tomohiro Ishii?
Brother, I'll take 10 to get to the main event of Wrestle Kingdom. If I have to bandage my neck afterwards in a bunch of ace bandages, I don't care. Like, let's go.
Okay.
I'm all for it, because, like, you know, I love Will, you know, like Will Ospreay and all the things that he does. Tomohiro Ishii and Suzuki, like, you watch them, they're fighters. They fight. They brawl. They're stiff. They're truly the essence of strong style, and they're old school. But my God, can they go? So I would love to do both. Because I feel like I could do both. Like, I could go with either a Will Ospreay or an Ishii. Because I've always tried to be able to wrestle everybody and give the best match I possibly can with everyone. And I've any of them, like, let's do it. I'll fight okay. All the young ones, you know, like, to get to that.
There you go.
I mean, like, so, I love New Japan, man. The passion is there.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, man, 100%. I subscribe to New Japan World. I don't miss any of the matches. But that said, now let me ask you this. Do you agree that Jon Moxley should be number one on the Pro Wrestling Illustrated Top 500?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. Like, I'm not ragging on him. I'm not ragging on AEW. But I'm not going to say sure, yes, he should be. Just to be political. There's other guys that are far more deserving if we're talking about pure wrestling ability and drawing power than him. I truly believe that. Should he be featured prominently? Absolutely. He should probably be in the top five, because it doesn't even matter necessarily that he might not be like, you know, this, you know, a technical genius, like, let's say Bret Hart or something, but the man draws.
Okay.
You can't take that away from him. And if nothing else, this business is a business. It is about drawing power and ticket sales. And the man draws. The man's entertaining. He brings everything. So, yes, he absolutely should be featured prominently. Top, I don't know. Maybe just because, you know, maybe he should be. I don't know, thinking on it. Just because, I mean, I guess, who else was there that was as strong of a champion? You know what I mean? That was as strong as a draw during this particular, like, evaluation period that we had. Because, I mean, let's face it, half of it, we were in a pandemic.
That's true.
I mean, it's very hard. So maybe he deserves that. Maybe he doesn't. I can't really say, you know.
Okay.
So I'll leave it at that. Now that I've kind of talked it out a bit, I'll leave it at that. You know what I mean?
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. So let's just swing to a different topic. Just curious, and I hope I pronounced his name correctly, but just tell me about how you and Mark Chausen came together. I hope I pronounced his name properly, Mark Chausen.
Schwan. It's Mark Schwan.
What's that?
It's Mark Schwan is actually how it's pronounced.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. It's all right. You just call Mark. It's fine.
Mark was a guy that I met when the squad was forming together, the Satsujin squad, which is comprised of myself, Eric Jaden, Dominic Tenero, Chris Barton, and Mark Schwan, and also Nia Kennedy. So we have four in-ring competitors and one guy, and Mark is either manager or commentary. He's typically like our commentary guy that comes out and commentates for all our matches. And Nia is our, she's the queen heel as she's titled. And she's, I would say manager, definitely could be a description, but she's there to watch our back, because I'll tell you what, she's not somebody you want to cross. Like, just because she's a female manager doesn't mean she can't beat your ass. So,
okay, there you go.
No, but Mark is a real, Mark is a real good guy. He is fantastic as a commentator, fantastic as a manager, as a support guy. You want a hype man, he's your guy. He's like, he's like a younger, I would consider him like a mix between like almost like a Bobby Heenan, and that he'll always be there, you know, to help you if you need it, and to hype you up, and a Paul Heyman, but you know, a Paul Heyman with hair and younger. So
okay, fair enough.
He's always been there. He's always believed in all of us, and he's definitely always believed in me. So like when he says he believes that I'm the future and the future of Breed Combination Wrestling and any other place that I work at, that I fight at, he believes it. He's not just saying it. He's always one of the guys that has supported me 100% no matter what.
All right. And Mark, if you're listening, I apologize sincerely about pronouncing your name wrong. I sincerely apologize, Mark. I hope you don't hold that against me. I truly am sorry, Mark. I feel a little embarrassed now that I pronounced it. I should have researched that before I did the interview, but I do apologize for that.
Nah, he's all good. He's pretty understanding. Okay. He's also, just to kind of put him over a little bit, he's actually a full-time actor, and he's actually really good. He's actually really good, and I don't see why he hasn't been cast in a much bigger role on a bigger movie or TV set than he has. So I'm just going to put that over for him. But, yeah, the guy's always had my back, always supported me from day one ever since I met him.
Okay. So we spoke about September 5th. You got that huge match against the Coward Blazer Ram. But also September 12th, I see that you're booked on TCW Broken by Design. Do you have an opponent for that yet, or not yet?
No, it's Blazer Ram.
Oh, it's Blazer Ram on September 12th as well.
He's followed me again. Though he'll say, gosh, I'm the one following him, but they see. Titan Management, TCW Management, has obviously seen the hatred we have for each other and the heat we have against each other. So what does heat do? It sells tickets. They know it's going to be a fight. I've worked for Titan before. Like, they already know who I am. They have been well established as one of the top faces of their company. So, you know, they want to see and challenge me, because I said, well, give me the best you have. Give me the best that's coming in. I don't care who you have to pull in. I'll fight all of them and I'll take every one of them on. And they said, oh, well, we have Blaze Haram, who who we've just signed to a match. Want to fight him? And I said, sure, I'll fight him. I'm already fighting him anyway. You might have to get a replacement for him if he doesn't make it past the fifth. But okay, I'll fight him again if I have to. I don't mind taking another piece out of him.
All right, yeah, no, actually, he seems to be sending me a message now. Just sending, are you interviewing that moron yet? And I just responded yes, and he says he's the mercenary that's going to bring you down, or that's going to break you down. I don't know if you want to respond to that.
Not really, because you know what? There's a lot of guys that have wanted to stay. Yeah. They've all said that.
No, I know. I'm going to turn my phone. I'm not even going to pay attention to that junk right now. And I don't mean to be rude to Blaze, but when he was on my show, he was very rude to me. So I really hope you just knock some sense into the guy on September 5th.
I listened to that interview, both of them that he was on, and I felt bad for you. You did compose yourself pretty well, like a professional. So that was extremely professional of you, because I don't know if I would have been able to do the same.
Okay, yeah, no, I kept my calm. So where do you see yourself in 5 years? 5 years from now, where would you? I know you mentioned New Japan, but are you hoping in 5 years you're wrestling Tetsuya Naito for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship?
Oh, I absolutely love that. I mean, that's the ultimate goal, is to be in Japan in 5 years, possibly. Even if it is New Japan, All Japan, NOAH, there's so many fantastic promotions that lead to New Japan. There is also over here in the States, there is now New Japan Strong.
Yep, right? Absolutely.
I've seen some fantastic talent on that, both from Japan, and then also a lot of them that live in the States are here. I've seen, you know, Jay White made his return and all that. That's actually a guy that somebody has said, they looked at me and they said, you look like an American Jay White. And I'm like, oh, thank you. I mean, I'm just trying to be me, but thank you. You know, that's a awesome guy to be compared to, but. Yeah, that or MLW is another one that I would love to work for. I know I've worked with and know quite a few guys that work with MLW, like Richard Holiday. I've actually fought him in a triple threat before.
Okay.
I've been on several shows with him. I know him for a while back. I'd very much like to work with him there in MLW, just because they put on fantastic programming, you know. And no, I'm not kissing their ass right now. They actually do put on great programming. Okay.
I agree. Jacob Fatu is a fantastic talent. They're champion.
Listening thinks that I'm doing that. No, that's not how I roll. So, you know. But yes, I would add that's where I see myself in 5 years, is having worked, you know, TV companies, preferably like MLW, NWA, and obviously, the main goal is New Japan.
All right. So before we wrap this up, do you have any merchandise that you want to plug? Any social media? Anything you want to plug? I know you have the big matches coming up September 5th, September 12th against Blaze Haram, which we discussed. But anything you want to plug, feel free to plug away, man.
Well, if anybody wants any merchandise from me, best way, honestly, during this particular pandemic, is I know a lot of shows, they don't do intermissions or anything like that, which is typically where I sell my merch. But if anybody wants to get any shirts of mine, like every other wrestler on the planet now, I smartened up and got a pro wrestling tees store. You can just look me up under Rick Recon and it'll come up. I got a couple shirts there that are available. One of them is actually me in like Dragon Ball Z anime, as a character, Dragon Ball Z character. That one's pretty cool. So that's pretty much where you're going to find my merch. Anything as far as my social media, Instagram is Rick_Recon, Twitter at RickRecon1, Facebook is just Rick Recon. I'm the cool looking dude with the shades and the long hair. Pretty easy to find on there. So yeah, that's about it. And then obviously, you want to watch any matches at all, just search my name on YouTube. That's it. Put it in, and there's going to be a whole list of promos and matches and everything, programs and everything else.
All right, man. All right, it's cool. And I will say that anyone listening, definitely check out Rick Recon against Simon Gotch. Fantastic match. It's on YouTube. Just a terrific match. Make sure you check that one out. It was absolutely fantastic. So, Rick, I just want to wish you luck on September 5th and September 12th. Not that you'll need it, but I just want to wish you luck anyway against Blaze Haram. And I'm looking forward to seeing the match on you said Fight TV, the September 5th match. And September 12th, is that going to be on Fight TV as well, or you're not sure?
I'm not sure about that one. They may stream one. If they do, however they stream it, I can let you know.
Okay, sounds great. Well, good luck in both those matches. And I want to thank you for joining me today. It was fantastic chatting with you. And I wish you nothing but the best of luck in the future. And I'm certain that one day I'm going to be watching New Japan Pro Wrestling, and you're going to be on one of the shows in Korakuen Hall. And I'm looking forward to that day, man.
Thank you, brother. That means a lot to me. Thank you.
My pleasure. Well, this has been Shooting Up North, Indie Edition. I'm your host, Lewis Carlin. Again, I want to thank my guest, the cyborg assassin, Rick Recon. And until next time, thank you very much. Take care. Bye-bye. And stay safe, everyone. So long. Bye-bye.